So hi, everyone. We did this work while I was an intern in Microsoft. So many thanks to these people that allowed us to access and publish this data. That's pretty awesome. So let's move to the problem statement. I think everybody knows that data centers consume a lot of energy and they are very costly to build. So people have started using cheaper forms of cooling in order to drive the cost down. Going from a traditional chiller-based data center to a waterside economized data center and towards free cool data centers. Now, the purpose of this work is to explore this new trade-off between the environmentals, the reliability, and the corresponding cost for the disks, the reliability of the disks. Now, since we are talking about environmental conditions inside the data center, we have to take a look at the operational dynamics of the cooling technologies themselves. So on the left, on your left, you can see a chiller-based data center. So here I have a lot of rows. And the hot air from these rows goes to an air handling unit that transfers the heat with a water pipe to some chillers. Now, this is the energy-hungry part. And with a secondary loop, this heat is being transferred to cooling towers that ultimately reject the heat to the environment. Now, when the air handling units are sufficient to cool down the data center, what happens is you can turn the chillers off. So this is what we call the waterside economized data center. But the thing is, this is an isolated box. You don't mix any outside air with the inside of the data center. On the other side, when you have this new cooling technology, you intentionally get air from the outside. Hopefully, it's going to be cool, but it's not always cool. So when you cannot down the data, you cannot cool down the data center, you have to spray additional water to the airstream, and as this water evaporates, it cools down the air, but it increases the relative humidity. So the key point from this slide is that the free cooling can expose the servers to harsh environmental conditions. So here is a very, very simplified graph that clusters the chiller-based data center CapEx, OpEx, relative humidity, and temperature, but also the waterside economization and the free cooling. You can see that the chiller-based data center is at the far right of the cost. So high OpEx, high CapEx. The waterside economized is cheap to run, but it's expensive to build. And the free cooling is very expensive in terms of both. Now, the free cooling data center goes on the far right of the picture when you consider the environmentals, which seems that the relative humidity and the temperature will always be high, which is not always the case, but the waterside economized will expose the servers to higher temperature, but low relative humidity and the chiller will be the most stable, the best. Now, prior work has explored the effects of the temperature and the temperature variation to the failure rates of the disks, but unfortunately, they have focused only on traditional data centers. There was no relative humidity problem over there. So the new angle that we add is we explore three types of cooling, and we have wider and more aggressive environmental envelopes. So this is our set of contributions. The first thing that I'm going to talk about is a quantification of the failure rates of the disks for three types of cooling in data centers. Then we're going to start trying to understand what are the root causes. We're going to do a financial analysis of if the new free cooling is actually viable. And then we're going to develop a model and conclude with some design considerations. Now, how we do that? We went out and we collected operational data from 9 Microsoft data centers from 2 to 4 years. With a total population of 1 million disks, you can see on the far right, column is the population for the individual data centers. And then in the middle is the cooling technology. You can see chiller-based, waterside-economized, free-cool data center. And more importantly, on the left, you can see 2 letters and a number. The first letter corresponds to either cool or hot. The second letter corresponds either to humid or dry. So these are the environmental conditions inside the equivalent data center. So for example, CD1 is cold and dry, HH1 is hot and dry. So this is the method where you gather our data. You have a lot of server racks that they communicate with Autopilot, which is the automatic management system for data centers of Microsoft. So what happens is that when everything goes well and there are no failures, nothing has been exchanged between the servers and the Autopilot, but as soon as a failure comes, the error type is being transmitted to autopilot and being recorded, and RMA goes to the technician that ultimately goes and fixes the error. Now, we care about three kinds of errors, and we classify them. I/O communication errors that will tell us that either the controller is dead or I cannot even talk to the device. Behavioral smart faults that indicate, for example, that I ran out of reallocated of sectors, so I exceeded the value that told me that the reallocated sectors count is higher than the regular value. And also, we care about age-related smart faults that indicate that the device is at the last part of its lifetime. So here, you can see an AFR summary for the 9 data centers that we're discussing. The most important column is the AFR column, which is in the middle. You can see that the cold and dry data centers exhibit an AFR of 1.5 to 2.1%. The hot but dry data centers are from 2.0 to 2.3. And these are nominal values for data centers. This is approximately the thing that you were expecting. The thing is, when you go to hot and humid data centers, you can see these huge AFRs developing that range from 3.1 to 5.4%. And this is, you know, from 1 to 2.5 times more the AFR when you compare it to a nominal AFR of 1.5%. So now we're trying to move to understanding the root causes of the failures. So here I have three data centers, hot and dry data center, cold and dry data center, and hot and humid data center. And on the right, you can see the types of failures that we encounter in this data center. So we classify the failures. This is how often each failure occurs in the equivalent data center. Now, of a particular interest is the big blue chunk in the top two data centers that they are dry. You can see that this approximately 50 to 60%. So the disks in these data centers, they fail because they run out of sectors. Now, in the hot and humid data center, this trend actually changes completely. And you can see that this blue 50% that it was before is just 10% now. And the dominant factor is the inability to talk to the device. Probably the controller is dead. Another interesting thing is that this image tells us that the mechanical part of the disk, since it's sealed from the relative humidity from the outside air, so there's no relative humidity alteration inside the enclosure of the disk, this means that the temperature is the only effect in the mechanical part, whereas the relative humidity causes problems only on the controller. So here is another view of... Here we plot the failure rates, the daily failure rates for two data centers, HD1 and HH1. Again, this data center is very interesting for us. And with red, you can see the daily failure rates for HD1 and HH1 with the black. And now in the middle, you can see a band with a gradient that shows us what is the relative humidity inside HH1. So red means high relative humidity, green means low relative humidity. And this corresponds, of course, to the seasons. Red is summer, and then it's winter with green, summer again. Now, the interesting thing here is, in the first summer, in the first winter, the number of daily failure rates for the two data centers is approximately the same. But when it comes to the second summer, you can see a huge cluster of failures. So this data tells us that this process is basically a lifetime process, that the lifetime is being subtracted from the device when you expose the device to environmentals. So the third thing that we try to do is to do regressions, try to correlate the failure probabilities with temperature, relative humidity, temperature variation, and relative humidity variation. We took HH1, which is 170,000 disks, and we split it into approximately four populations, approximately the same size, of approximately the same size. The thing is, these correspond to different parts of the data center. It's either different color, it's a different part of the color, And here you can see some numbers, which are the coefficients on the left for linear regression, so try to fit a line on this data, and on the right for trying to fit an exponential function. So here I'm going to abstract the numbers because they are too difficult to follow, and I'm going to concentrate only on the slope of the line. When the slope is positive, there's a positive relationship, so I put a green, and when it's red, it's the opposite. So we can see that for the temperature, usually it's positive. There's also one negative value. For the variations, it's always negative, and this is a consequence of the controls of our data centers. And the relative humidity is always positive. The same thing happens when you go and feed an exponential function to the data. The only constantly positive coefficient B, which is of a particular interest in this time, is relative humidity. So after that, we tried to correlate the failures with on HH1 and try to understand which is the best function that describes the phenomena. Is it a linear function? Is it an exponential function? Because this is the whole debate in the past few years of whether, you know, the effects are linear or exponential. So what we do is we have these five variables, failure rates versus the four environmentals that we care about. And what we do is we construct the 5x5 correlation matrix, doing linear and nonlinear correlation. And you can see that the colors correspond to intensity of the correlation, ranging from 1 to minus 1. So this is a diagonal. In the diagonal, you can see that there's always 1. This matrix is always symmetric, so the upper part and the bottom part is exactly the same. The thing that I really care about is the relationship between the failure probability and the temperature and also the relative humidity. And you can see that when you put all the data together from the four populations, there is not very high relationship. The correlation is pretty low. The linear correlation is pretty low. But when you go to the exponential correlation, you can see here on the right that this is very significant. And this thing tells us that probably the relationship is exponential. So next, what we did is we took our data and we tried to simulate and see from a financial point of view if it works to have the cheaper cooling technology, the free cooling. So here we have three data centers. We simulate the cost for these three data centers, for a chiller-based data center, a waterside economized data center, and a free cool data center. For 10, 15, and 20 years, we calculated the cost. Now the individual bars for example, in the chiller denote the capital cost, the operational cost, and then the extra cost that I have to pay after an AFR of 1.5%, which is, by the way, our baseline. Now you can see that the cost grows, of course, because it grows in time. For the chiller-based data center that has an AFR of 1.5%, as the time passes, you don't see any disk-related costs because the AFR is the baseline. For the waterside economized, that the temperature is a little bit higher, you can see that costs accumulate, but they are very small. And then when you go to the free cool data center, you can see that with an AFR of 5.4%, which is much, much higher than this 1.5%, you can see a huge accumulation of cost, especially in 20 years. The cost for the disks is approximately the same as buying the equipment of the free cooling in the first place. But still, the cost is half on the water side economized and approximately a third than running a chiller-based data center. So here's a summary of our observations. We've seen that the failure rates correlate with the environmentals. Especially the relative humidity seems to have a very strong impact in the data centers that we looked. The impact of the environmentals actually breaks different parts of the disk. The relative humidity seems to affect only the controller, whereas the temperature seems to affect both the controller and the mechanical part of the disk, again, because the disk is sealed. We also saw that the failures do not occur instantly. So if you expose the disks to harsh environment, they're not going to fail at this moment. Instead, this process seems to match a lifetime process, when the disk rolls out of the factory, is equipped with a lifetime that comes out of the of a distribution. And then the disk every hour of the day has been subtracted from the lifetime with a rate which is very dependent on the environmentals. Now, we also saw that the free cooling, from an economical side of view for the data center operator, it's still much cheaper, and so it really worth paying the extra cost, even if it means paying 5% of your disks. So now we can move to modeling the failure rates. And the question is, why exactly go out and model the failure rates? Well, the question is simple. I want to answer hypothetical scenarios. If I take this data center and I move it around the Earth, I'm going to have different failure rates, especially with the free cooling. But also other scenarios, like I want to be cheaper in terms of technology, run my data center hotter. I can do that. It's my set point of my cooling equipment. And this will also result into different AFRs. So as I told you before, people have modeled with the Arrhenius equation the effect of the temperature to the reliability of the disks, and especially they model the mechanical degradation of the disk. So we use this part, and then we add the corrosion effects on the controller. With this second equation, as you see, its corrosion rate is dependent on temperature and relative humidity, and you construct a product of two exponential functions to calculate the corrosion rate on the controller. So for these two separate processes, we calculate the so-called acceleration factor for the device, which tells us how much faster the disk will fail if you expose it to environmentals X versus when you expose it to regular environmentals, baseline environmentals, so for example, 25 degrees centigrade and 50% relative humidity. Now, in order to validate our results, we used the data from P1, the population of HH1, and we validated with P2, P3, and P4, but also two other data centers, CD3 and HD1. And we really found that we can go very close to the observed AFRs. So for the final part of the presentation, I'm just going to show you some design considerations. Actually, one design consideration, the rest you can find it on the paper. So we thought that the placement of the disks on the chassis will have a significant impact of the AFRs. If we say that everything that we said before is true, then placing the disks in the front or on the back of the chassis, it will play a critical role. So here I have, on the bottom, I have the cold dial. So the air is usually cool, but high in relative humidity. And on the top, I have the hot dial, which is the exhaust of the servers. And now when the disks are placed in the front, you can see that their environmental conditions are going to be approximately the same as the ones that the cold dial has. So this low temperature and relative humidity. This type of design corresponds to the data center that we cared about a lot in this presentation, HH1. But it turns out that if you place the disks on the back, although they are going to have a higher temperature, because the temperature is the difference between the cold dial and the hot dial, probably 15 to 20 degrees, because we haven't added any humidity inside this air, the relative humidity will drop down like this, and it will reach probably 15 to 20%. And when you evaluate our models, you're going to see that the AFRs, we expect the AFRs to be 15 to 20% lower than the previous design that you place them in the front, and that's actually very traditional design. Actually, I saw a blade outside that had 24, I think, disks in the front. And there's also the alternative design that you put the disks on the side, in row, and there you have to do computational fluid dynamics to understand how the temperature and relative humidity changes among the disks. So in conclusion, we've seen a study that explored hard disk reliability in free cool data centers, and we tried to correlate them with the corresponding environmentals. We took data from 9 data centers, 3 cooling technologies, approximately 1 million disks from 2 to 4 years. We've learned that the AFR are significantly impacted from their environmentals, especially high relative humidity. The trade-off, though, favors still the free cooling. The data center operators are willing to pay the extra disk cost in order to save millions and millions of dollars from the free cooling. And we developed an accurate model to predict failure rates by separating the two processes for the mechanical and the controller part. And we also learned a lot of lessons for, especially for the data center design, where to place the disks. Thank you.
I'm Ralph Becker from IBM Almaden. In your cost estimates, for the cost of disk replacement, you clearly considered the CapEx cost of the disk. Did you also consider overhead due to the human cost of sysadmins having to go in, reduced performance during resilver, and maybe even, God forbid, cost of loss, risk of data loss?
So for your first question, no, because we are already doing that. So for us, it doesn't make any difference, at least in Microsoft, it doesn't make any difference. We haven't seen any increase in the staff over the past few years. Okay, so we haven't considered the extra man cost. If somebody has extra men working to extra technicians, then yes, you should consider it. Yep. And for your second question, what was the second question again?
Loss of performance during resilvering.
Yeah, absolutely. So you need to come up as an application developer. You need to come up with a function which tells you what is the cost for the degradation. And that's very difficult to find. No, that's the question is no. We haven't considered any such cost, no. Thank you.
Hi, Alex Marchewski, IBM. So I was wondering, how were you able to differentiate between a drive controller failure and like an HBA failure?
I'm sorry?
How are you able to differentiate between the drive controller failing and the HBA failing? So if you had like 12 drives attached, how would you know if the controller went down as opposed to a drive failed?
We couldn't say that. Oh, you mean the controller for the individual disk or the controller that for all the devices?
For all the devices.
Absolutely no way to tell.
So it's not reflected in the numbers?
No. So the only thing that might save this question is if the controller fails, that controls a lot of devices, we would see a lot of devices from the same server failing, which was never the case.
Okay.
We've looked at cluster failures if something were suspicious, but we couldn't find anything.
Okay, thank you.
Arif Merchant, Google. Forgive me if I missed it, but it seemed to me that your conclusions for the effect of relative humidity was based on basically one summer where there was particularly high, I haven't read the papers, I may have missed it. I'm just curious how much data you have to be confident in that correlation.
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. So we have data for four data centers. Now, in the paper in the presentation, I show you only one. And this is a valid question. I mean, there's always the case that you've missed something, and the correlations are spurious. The thing that saves the day is we went in the data centers and we saw corrosion. Okay, so that's a very strong knowledge that you know the corrosion is there, you're just trying to quantify it instead of, I don't know if the corrosion is there, and I'm trying to infer it from correlations. That might be spurious.
Thank you.
One quick question. Yeah. Have you communicated this to the standards? Do they expect that this happens? Why humidity makes this more fail more?
To the vendors?
Yeah.
So that's a great question. Actually, we've seen that in the white papers and in the manuals for the disks, they say that the relative humidity can be up to 95%, which is, yeah. I mean, the thing is, if you have a car that can run up to 200 miles per hour, okay, and you run it every day like this, I think you expect it to last less. So the vendors, I think they put these numbers, if something happens and the relative humidity goes up to 95%, they are safe because there's no condensation going on. But no.
So, sorry, one more question. So for the sealed drive, like the Helio drive, So will that be still affected by the humidity?
Yeah, because the controller is exposed to the environment.
Right, I think let's go back to the question regarding the HBA or the drive. I mean, the HBA card or the drive itself.
If everything is sealed and there's no...
Yeah, the drive is sealed. If the drive is sealed.
If the drives are sealed, then there would be no impact on the relative, from the relative humidity.
Right, but it still can, so then the temperature will be...
The temperature will have its own effects on the mechanical part and some effect in the controller part, because the air inside this sealed box has some humidity level. It's not zero. So you would still see some acceleration due to the combined effects of the temperature and the lower relative humidity on the controller, but you could not see any deviations because of the outside environmentals.
I see.